Well, that's kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? This is Paul, the disciple to the Gentiles, writing to the church in Rome. And we have to remember that Paul starts out our story as Saul, the Pharisee and the punisher of Christians. He was punishing them because he did not believe that they were following Jewish law. He thought that they deserved to be beat up on. That's not very nice, is it? No. Golly, beating up on somebody just because they have a different religion from you, or in those days, just a different view of the same religion. Because at the time, Christians were considered to be part of Judaism. You ever think about that? That we come from, I mean, why do we have all that Old Testament stuff anyway? We come from the Jewish tradition. Our religion is sometimes spoken of as the Judeo-Christian religion because we come from the same tradition, the same roots that the Hebrew people do, that the Israelites do, that the Jews do, and yet we have chosen to worship Christ as the ultimate bringer of God's Word, as the ultimate example of God's will, as the ultimate sacrifice in God's law. And so to really understand where Jesus was coming from, you have to understand where He came from, which was Judaism, the Old Testament. And to understand Paul, I think you have to understand that too. He is struggling with the fact that he has been called to the Gentiles, not the Jews. He has been asked to go out into the Roman world to travel up and down the shores of the Mediterranean, setting up churches all over what we now think of as Italy and Spain and Turkey, places where there were Jewish communities but that were not part of Israel, were not part of the homeland. He was expected, he was called by God to go places that other people could not go and do things that other people could not do, even though it wasn't what he personally would have preferred to do. He's saying here that he would give his life and soul for his own people, and yet he's called by God to preach, not to those people, but to other people. Does that ever happen in our lives? Yeah, I think sometimes it does. I think that often that we are called to reach out to people beyond the ones that we wanted to talk to. Often I see folks who start out teaching Sunday school or being involved in youth programs or doing something else for a group because somebody in their family is in need. And then they begin to see the need and not just their family. And they get called to continue to do this. You all know that I work in drug rehab, and I started out working as a chaplain down at Wakulla Correctional Institution. I did not intend to get into this as a career, but a friend of mine who was the chaplain there was looking for volunteers. And so I called him up and said, "Hey, here's what I can do. Can I help?" He said, "Sure, come on down." I went down, I talked to him, I saw what was going on, I got involved as a volunteer, and the next thing I know, they're asking me if I want to work there. I hadn't intended to work in prison. I hadn't expected to be called to do prison ministry, and yet I found myself doing that. And I worked in prisons for a number of years, and then more recently I took the job at NPI, Non-Secure Programs, and that is a community corrections type of organization, and so it's much more local. And the first month I was there, my old yard man from my old neighborhood shows up as a client. Well, that was getting a little too close to home, you know? I mean, I'm used to working in prisons where you have people from around the state, but for the most people part, they were not people from my neighborhood. Dealing with folks from my own neighborhood who were there, court-ordered, struggling with their addiction was, you know, that's a little close there. But I dealt with it. And now I find myself appreciating the fact that I am dealing with people who are Tallahassee people. They're local people. They're people that I will see on the street and run into at the grocery store, and, you know, they're part of my community. It's a little more difficult sometimes, but it's also an opportunity for me to see the changes that people make in their lives because of, in part, what I'm able to do, how I'm able to help them. And so I find myself reaching out to people that I didn't intend to be ministering to when I thought I was getting in the ministry. I thought I'd be going and preaching in a church and they'd be all, you know, cleaned up like y'all are all nice and clean and dressed up and smell good. And, you know, I ended up working with criminals in the prison. I was like, kind of, you know, I don't know about this stuff. First day I walked into Wakulla prison, man, do you know how big the lock is on that front gate? I heard it, I think, for 30 minutes after the gate closed behind me. You know, you hear that lock slam shut, and you know that you are locked in until somebody unlocks that for you, because you ain't got the key. Whew, they let me out. I was so glad. I had a friend who said he did prison ministry one time. He heard that lock shut behind him, and that was the only thing he could think about until he got out the gate. He said, prison ministry is not for me. Well, Paul, I'm sure, was not expecting to be called to the Gentiles. He was not expecting that God would make him an apostle to Christians when he was in his expected role as a Pharisee. He had grown up as a Pharisee. He had spent years studying the Old Testament scriptures. He knew the law. He knew the scriptures. He thought he knew God. But God had other thoughts in mind. God has other thoughts for us. We think we know what we're supposed to do, but God knows what He wants us to do. We think we know where we're supposed to go, where we belong, where we fit. But God is able to fit us into places that we would never expect to be fitted. But then that's God. He can see things so much better than we can. He can understand so much better what we can do than we can. And yet He asks us to participate in the process by saying, I'll go. Send me. I'm willing. Let me step out here and help. Pat has many times spoken to me about what a moving experience Vacation Bible School was last year. When we started that process, I remember her going, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll try. And boy, did she do a wonderful job. And I saw her just glowing at the end of that because of the experience. God took her and used her, and I think that she felt God's presence in that being used to make this happen. It's a wonderful experience, but it's not something that we always feel. Sometimes we feel like we're just struggling to try and figure out where we belong. We're just struggling to try and figure out what we're supposed to do. We're just struggling to try and figure out where we need to go next. But if we keep telling God, I will go. Send me. Let me be the one. Instead of, I ain't gonna do that. No, that's not me. When we do that, we turn away from what God may be asking us to do, but we also turn away with the ways that God is trying to bless us. Because in those moments, we are hugely blessed. We get to see stuff in ourselves we didn't even know was there. You ever had an experience like that where, wow, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I had it in me. He knows. He knows, and not only that, But He will fill us with His power, with His love, with His joy, with His strength when we do His work. But we have to be willing to listen to His voice. Because if we are doing our work, we may not be doing what He asks us to do. Saul was not doing God's work. And God struck him blind in the middle of the road and gave him a vision of the resurrected Christ in order to get his attention. Now, I do highly recommend that we not go to all that trouble to make God go to all that trouble to get our attention. People have sometimes asked me about my call to preach. And I have jokingly said it was more like a drag. God had to knock me down and drag me to preach that I wasn't exactly called, because I wasn't at all sure what God was doing with me when I started being pointed in that direction. But I kept trying to be faithful and say, God, if this is what you really want me to do, I'll try. And so I believe we hear echoes of that. I don't understand what you're calling me to do, Lord, but I'll try. In Paul's saying that he would give his very life and soul for his people if he could. But God did not call him to do that. God instead called him to give his time and his energy to people that he did not previously consider to be his people. So when we look at other people and go, not my people, those people, them people, be careful. Because them people just might be God's people. Those folks might be His folks. And we might be the ones called to reach out to them. Because God has called each and every one of us to do His will, not our own. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.